You haven't noticed, I am not Pastor Dan. Pastor Dan is not feeling well this morning, so I am Pastor Rich, and you're stuck with me today. I am glad to be able to have this opportunity to preach to you on this very special day, this occasion that we call Group Ephesus Day. It's a time in which we try, to the best of our ability, convey to you the importance of being in a group if you're not already in one. You see, here at Crossroads, we have about 40 adult small groups. Sometimes we call them life groups. And either way, it's a place where hundreds of people gather together in small groups for prayer, for Bible study, and for fellowship primarily. They do it in numerous locations on the property. They do it at different times, on different days. We even have groups that meet off property in homes. But all these groups have one thing in common, and that is this. They all gather together for good. You see, people gather in all kinds of groups outside of church in our country for all kinds of reasons. People gather together for academic purposes. People gather together for social purposes. People gather together for community service and so much more. And I am sure that some good is being done in those gatherings, but is God being glorified? Are people hearing the gospel of truth? Are people being built up in their faith? Are they being built up in Christ? Are spiritual needs being addressed? Are people being given and shown from the Bible how to deal with and how to conquer problems that come their way? In the Bible today, I'm going to be with you primarily in just one book. It's the book of Galatians in the New Testament. If you would like to open up your Bibles there, Galatians chapter 4. And I'm primarily going to focus on one verse, and it's verse number 18. And that verse is such an impactful verse to me that speaks about good. And it speaks about that it is good to be zealous always in a good manner or in a good thing. And the word good is used twice in that verse, and both times it means the same thing. The word good in that verse means valuable or worthy. At Crossroads, would you agree that we have a good thing going on here? At Crossroads, we have a good thing going on here. We see people come to faith in Jesus, to Jesus Christ. You know, just within the last couple of weeks, I believe we've had 34 people trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. All 34 of those people came to the Welcome Center to pick up that Best Day Ever bag, and I had a chance to talk to every one of those 34 people, and they shared with me their decision that they trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Would you agree that that's a good thing? Yeah. And I know that numbers isn't everything, but numbers are an indicator as far as progress. And last Sunday for Easter, we had record attendance. I mean, how many of you were here last Sunday in this service? And, you know, this service was filled to capacity. And because it was, I was one of those unfortunate people at the door that had to say, I'm sorry, there's no more seats. And we had every single seat in the Connection Center was filled with people watching it on the TV screens. We had people in the gymnasium building sitting in the big gym watching it on the big screen. 11 o'clock service, same thing. We were filled to capacity. Would you say that's a good thing? Amen. You see, people made a decision to come to church last Sunday when they could have done anything else. They came here. That's a good thing. As filled as we are, you would think that COVID was over. The place was packed. You know, at Crossroads, there is a good thing happening if you look around in one way, shape, or form, either in those things that I just named or other things that are being accomplished, even through our groups. Hey, our groups are a good thing. And just like the definition here of good, they are valuable. They are worthy. Man, I have been at the church, my wife and I, for 26 years and 3 months. We walked in those doors January 1996. And we've been here that entire time. And I have seen our group ministry grow and thrive. Man, I've seen group members become leaders. I've seen leaders become coaches. I've seen people grow in their faith. I've seen people grow in their walk with the Lord. I've seen people grow in their relationship with other believers. I have seen some of our groups go out in the community and impact our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ through word and through deed. I have seen some of our groups participate in outreach events that we have at this church, again, being a blessing and a testimony and a witness impacting our community for Jesus. You know, I turned back the clock 26 years ago when we first walked in those doors, and we look at that ministry back then. Back then, we called it Sunday school. And back then, when we first came, there was one Sunday school class that met in here that Pastor Dan taught before he preached. And then after that, I believe that one class split up into five groups. And then the five multiplied to 10, the 10 to 15, and the 15 to 20, and 25, 30, 35, 40, 40, now close to 40. Hey, guys, that doesn't happen by accident. Amen. It happens when people see the value of being in a group. That's how groups grow. That's how groups multiply. It happens when you have people just like you that attend groups that decide, hey, I'd be willing to lead a group. That's how groups multiply. That's how those things happen. You know, I remember at one time we went to having six groups meet over in our children's building. That middle room we call the Kids Worship Center. Back in the old days, we called it the Fellowship Hall. Anybody remember those days? Fellowship Hall. We had six groups at one time that met in that room over there, and all six groups met in there, and it was divided by partitions. And then God blessed our church through your giving, through the giving of his people, and we were able to build a brand new building, the gymnasium building, where we all had our own classrooms. You know, we went from having just 1 hour of life groups or small groups or whatever we want to call them. We went from that to having 2 hours. And then from 2 hours, we went to having it for 3 hours. And then we went from having it from 3 hours to having groups that would meet on Monday evening and Tuesday morning and then Wednesday, to groups that met every day, to groups that would meet here on property and off property. We had groups that would meet at Chick-fil-A, groups that would meet in coffee houses, groups that would meet in homes, you know. Man, it's been crazy to see what has happened over the years. And again, this all progressed 26 years ago from us being called Sunday School to us changing the name to Adult Bible Fellowship, ABF for short. And I remember Pastor Dan hated that. He said it sounded like cough medicine. So we had to change that. And so we decided to call them life groups. And then now it's kind of morphed into adult small groups. You know, it's been such a change, but a change for good. If you haven't noticed, I'm very passionate about this ministry because I've been involved in this ministry my entire time here, even as a volunteer, as a church member, before I was ever an employee here at the church. I was involved in this ministry. And I have seen over the last 20 plus years what God has done and what God can do through our groups here at Crossroads. You know, I've seen the change that have happened in people's lives over the course of those years. I hear testimonies like Shannon's. Wasn't that an awesome testimony? To see how God used a group in our church and group leaders in our church and group members in our church to zealously affect her for good, for God. You know? And I can speak from personal experience. Myself, Pastor Rob, others can say that a major contributing factor to our spiritual growth and our walk with Christ was because we made a decision one day, we're going to attend a group. And because of that, our lives have been changed. You know, all the names of all the people that have shared testimonies with me personally over the years and shared emails with me over the years and maybe even spoke to you in church come to my mind. And people do that. They send me testimonies and just tell me what a blessing their group has been to them. And I have an email folder that I call testimonies. And every time I get one of those, I put it in. I put it in. I put it in. I put it in. And I've done that for over 20 years. It's a big folder. I'm going to share a few of those with you. But it's incredible. But the point is this, is that those testimonies would not even be testimonies. They wouldn't even be in my inbox, in my folder, if it wasn't for our groups. Our groups have had a major impact in people's lives. I attend a couple prayer meetings a week, and I hear people pray. And in their prayers, I hear them thank God for their groups, for their group leaders, for the godly friendships that they've made in their groups, for the difference and the change that their group has made in their life. I hear them. I hear people praying this week in and week out. The change that their groups have made in their life for good. We have several opportunities a year in our church where we can get involved, but there's a place where many good things happen on a weekly basis in our church, and that is in our groups. In our groups, you know, in verse number 18 in Galatians 4, there's a key word that I love, and that's the word always. Always. You know, we should be zealous always in a good thing. And our groups are the place where you can do that. Our groups aren't going to run for 12 weeks and be over. They're here to stay. They're here for you. They're here for us. You see, if you're saved, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says that you are in Christ and Christ is in you. And because of that, you know, we should naturally want to be zealous always in a good thing. Where Jesus Christ is the focal point, where the grace of God is being ministered to you, but also through you. You're being a blessing to other people as well. You know, it's not all about what you can get, but it's also about what you can give. And you can do that in a small group. You can do that. Our groups are the place where we can connect with other believers. Nowadays, it's not really easy to find encouragement, whether it's in the workplace or other places, but aren't you glad that we have a place where we can come to each week and gather with other people that are like-minded, someone that we have something in common with, and the most important thing is our relationship with Jesus Christ. Our groups are the place where we can develop godly friendships. It's really hard to get to know people when we just come to the worship service and leave. I know. I used to do that. Like I said, when Kathy and I first started coming 26 years ago, for the first 2 years, we would come in those doors. We would walk across the back wall. We would go up those steps, go up into the balcony, and then we would go to that second section there where Wade and Rose are, and that's where we would sit for 2 years. And when, nothing wrong with those seats, by the way, sorry. That's not the center section, okay? I'm sorry. Just want to make that clear. That's just where we sat. No correlation. But then we would come down after service, and then we would make a beeline for the door. But the point is this, is that we never, never took time to develop any friendships here at church. We were in and out as quick as could be. You see, we all can make friends, can't we? Friendship's not anything new to any of us. We are all capable of making friends. But here's the question I have for you. Are the friendships you're making godly friendships? Are they with people that will build you up in your faith? Are they with people that will cause you to stumble and fall? It's good when you have friends. Friends you can count on. I was reading through some of those testimonies this morning that I told you about that I've received. And this one came to my mind and I printed it out of a person that had attended a group. And they said, when we attended a group, we found friendships, godly friendships. We found grounded, faithful role models, and we immediately started building those godly friendships. It's exactly what I've been praying for. It allowed me to see firsthand that what we did related to other Christian families, and that we were not alone. We were not alone. You know, it's good when you have friends that you can count on, friends that can identify with what you're going through. I think about the godly friendship the Apostle Paul had with men such as Luke that were with him through thick and through thin. Our groups in which we are held accountable. We all need to be held accountable, don't we? Whether we like it or not, we need it. We need it. Sometimes we're our own worst enemy. We get discouraged. We get depressed. We get lazy. We get distracted by the things of this world that will pull us away from church, away from the Lord. And we just don't feel like coming. But you know what? When you don't show up to church, for instance, and you're not in a group, there's a good chance that no one might know that you're even gone. In a crowd this size of hundreds of people, someone can easily get missed. They can get missed. But when you're in a group and you're absent, know that it is noticed and you are missed. Be aware that someone is probably going to check on you and make sure that everything is okay, unless you've told them ahead of time that you're not going to be there. But what happens when we miss church? What happens when we miss group for 2 weeks? If we're not careful, that 2 weeks becomes, and that three becomes 4 weeks. And if we're not careful, we start to regress instead of progress in our Christian walk. We start taking steps backward instead of taking steps forward. Our groups are just a tool. They're a tool to help you in your Christian walk, to help you grow and take those forward steps in life. That's what they are. You know, I think about our groups and how important they are. And if we neglect coming to church and we neglect coming to group, man, again, we can take steps backwards. And we don't want to do that. Paul knew it as he was writing here to believers in the churches in Galatia. Look with me at back at chapter 4, verse number 3. Paul tells them this. He says, so when we were children, we were in bondage to the elements of the world. Drop with me down to verse number 8. And then Paul says this. He says, therefore, or verse number 8, he says, previously, when you did not know God, back when you were not even saved, you served those who by nature are not gods. But now, after you've known God, or rather are known by God, Paul was puzzled. He says, how is it now that you're saved? I can understand when you weren't saved, you were walking in the way of the world. But now that you are saved, Paul's puzzled here. He's puzzled. He says, how do you turn again to the weak and beggarly elemental forces to which you desire again to be in bondage? Paul is taking them down a trip down memory lane. And Paul is saying, hey, you were in bondage back in the days when you were not saved. You were living according to the ways of the world. You were lost in your sins. I understand that. But Paul says, hey, in verse 9, he goes, I don't understand this. I don't understand now. How is it now that you are saved that you want to turn again back to those things and be in bondage to the world when Christ has given you new life? When Christ has made you free. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse number 1. Paul elaborates and he tells them, he says, for freedom, Christ freed us. Therefore, stand fast and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Hey, this was written 2,000 years ago, but is it still true today? Of course, I've seen it, you've seen it. Sometimes someone will come to church for a while, and then before you know it, Satan will use the lusts of this world to draw them away from other believers, away from their group, away from their church. Can I tell you what we're going to do? We're going to keep each other accountable. We've got to keep each other accountable. Our groups are the place where we can find help. 1 Corinthians 12:26, I'm going to quote for you. It's a great cross-reference. It says, "And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. If one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it." And that's what the family of God is all about. During the tough time, the burden is shared. During the good times, the joy is multiplied. Man, we all face tragedies, deaths, sicknesses. They all occur in everybody's life. No one is exempt. But when those times happen, we can find an ear that will listen to us. We can find a shoulder to cry on. During the good times, man, we can rejoice. When there's a birth of a child, a grandchild, a milestone anniversary, your favorite team wins the Super Bowl, whatever it is, you can rejoice with them that rejoice. But you also can weep with them that weep. That's why I love in our group time, there's usually an allocated time period in which prayer requests are shared, but also praises are shared. We want to thank God for certain things. It's when we can do those things. I was reading this other testimony, and someone wrote, "Sometimes you feel that you are the only person going through a particular issue, and then you go to your group, and you share your request for prayer for that thing, and you find out you're not alone. The best part is you're not praying by yourself. You have a whole group of wonderful people praying with you for whatever you might be going through at the time. The great thing is that these people really care, and they encourage you, and it encourages my heart to know that other people are praying for me on my behalf. What a blessing. What a blessing. Our groups are a place where you can find encouragement. Did you know that there will always be people in your life that will zealously affect you, but not for good? Not acting in your best interest? Not building you up in your faith? People that will try to make your life miserable? People that will try to take you down the wrong path? Or try to influence you to do something that you know you should not, you know in your heart you should not be doing. In Galatians chapter 4, look at verse number 17 with me. In verse 4:17, Paul addresses this. Notice what he says. He speaks about the flip side. Not zealousing others for good, but zealousing others for not good. Verse 17, he said, "They would zealously influence you." But what are the next three words? "But not favorably," not for good. But in our groups, in our church, we are here to encourage each other each week. We need that. There's enough to discourage us outside of this place. There's enough to influence us outside of this place to do wrong. But here, from other believers in Christ, from Christ himself, from God's word, that's where we draw strength to face the world, to press forward, to impact others for Jesus. To influence one another for good, for God. A great cross-reference is Romans 15:2, which Paul says, "Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to edification." You see, our groups are a place where people care. Paul wrote this in 1 Thessalonians 4:9. Listen to this. He said, "As concerning brotherly love, you don't not need for me to write to you." Why, Paul? Why aren't you going to write to us about brotherly love? He says, "For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another." Paul told the people, "I do not need to write to you about how to love other people." Because if you're saved, guess what? God has put in your heart the capacity to love one another. Because of this, if you're saved, you have the epitome of love living inside of you. I remember when I was a little kid, I got saved when I was 8 years old. And one thing that impacted me was going to an event, a children's event, and we made a craft. And on that craft, It was just a piece of wood that we stenciled these three words, and then we colored it in, and then we brought it home. And my mom, after all these years, so that was when I was 8 years old, so that was 20 years ago. After all these years, my mom still has that wooden plaque hanging in her house above one of the doors that I made 20 years ago. And it's these three words: God is love. Paul says, I don't need to write to you about that. If you're saved, you have the epitome of love already in you. You have it in you. God's Spirit lives inside of you. Look with me at Galatians chapter 4, verse number 4. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born from a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. We might become part of the family of God, children of God. And because you are sons, what did God do? He sent forth into our hearts, what are the next two words? The Spirit of his Son, crying, Abba, Father. That's why we say God's our Father, because we're his spiritual sons and daughters. And with God's Spirit living inside of us that are believers, you know, when you put your faith in Christ, you're no longer in bondage to Satan. You're no longer in bondage to the world. You're no longer in bondage to the Old Testament law. But we still have one law that binds us. But it's a good thing. It's called the law of Christ. Look at me at Galatians chapter 6, verse number 2. Paul writes this. He says, bear one another's burdens, and so you will fulfill this law. And it's called the law of Christ. The law of Christ. Go with me to verse number 10, same chapter. He says, therefore, as we have opportunity, and man, well, we will have opportunity. When we have that opportunity, let us do good to how many people? All people. But notice what he says here, how he concludes the verse. He says, especially to those who are of the household of faith. The household of faith. You know, as Christians, we need to be there for each other, is what Paul's saying. We need to be there for each other. That's the law of Christ. When we see an opportunity to do good to one of our fellow members in particular, we do it. We take it. That's what happens in our groups. That's what happens in our groups. Someone shared this testimony a few months ago. They said that they were diagnosed with clinical depression and anxiety. They said, I decided to come to church and come to a group one night. I walked in with tears streaming down my face. I remember the leaders welcoming me to the group. They all listened, and they helped me with Bible verses to apply each day in my life. Now I know how to rightly divide the word and apply it to my everyday life. You see, it's the word. Our groups are the place where we hear the truth. We have a pastor up here every Sunday morning that does not compromise the truth. And because of that, we are people that get to hear truth week in and week out. Not just in church, but also in our groups throughout the week. In our groups, we can take things a step further than our worship services. We can ask questions if we want. We can discuss things further so we can learn how we can live out the things that we're learning. When we do that, we grow. Our groups are a place where we can grow in Christ. They're a place where our faith is strengthened. One group leader shared this testimony with me recently. She said, Our lesson this week was on forgiveness. At the end of class, again, a Bible lesson on forgiveness. At the end of class, someone that was attending the group for the first time asked if she could say something. I said, no, we don't allow that in class. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. She did not say that. I'm just kidding. No. She said, of course. I said, yes. She went on to tell us with tears how she'd been struggling with forgiving someone who had hurt her. That Bible lesson was just what she needed to hear from God's word at that time. We have a good thing going on here at Crossroads, especially through our groups. It's such a good thing, we don't need to keep it to ourselves. Like I said, we have hundreds of people that attend groups every week. It's gone from this small ministry 20-something years ago to this large ministry. Why? Because people have seen and experienced the value of our group ministry. We don't need to keep it just to ourselves. If you're not in a group, you need to be in one. A group is a place that we all need to be in. Not out of guilt, but because we want to be. We have that desire to be. Hey, I know it's another hour of commitment a week. You committed to come here 1 hour, and taking that next step will commit you to come 2 hours. But if you ask anyone that's in a group, they will tell you that it's an hour well spent. Don't let anyone or anything deter you from being where you and I need to be. You're not going to have perfect attendance, but that's okay. It's okay. But it's a place where we laugh together. It's a place where we cry together. It's a place where we pray together. It's a place where we serve together. It's a place where we have fun and life together. And I'm going to leave you with these two verses. Romans 12:9 says this. It says, hate that which is evil, but cleave unto that which is good. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, firmly hold on to that which is good. Our groups are a good thing, a very good thing. Covet them earnestly. Stick to them like glue. And let's grow together and impact lives together as we experience life together. Amen. When you leave here today, as Clayton mentioned, we invite you to go into the Connection Center with the map that you received. All of our groups are represented out there with leaders or representatives of their group that would be glad to tell you more. But I encourage you this week, take that next step if you're not in one already, and try out a group. Would you pray with me?